Live from the 1480 studios here in Phoenix, KPHX. That's Phoenix, Arizona. Of course, you're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment, brought to you by Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. Hi, everyone. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Greg Isaac and Joseph Erdo. I'm back from Vegas.
You boys. Are.
You absolutely are, because you almost botched my last name again.
No, yeah. I know your last name. I've known it for 27 years.
Absolutely.
In fact, I named you.
Well, thank you. Or actually,
no, actually,
thank
I wanted
you.
A different name, and we'll talk about that later.
He wanted to call me Richard, and you know why.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Richard. I'm not a crook. That's Richard Nixon.
Yes, that's very good, Dave.
Eric, you remember that, Richard Nixon?
Well, of course, yeah. I actually met him.
Yeah, you met him?
I've met a couple different presidents.
Wow, how did you do that?
Good.
He was eating dinner at one of my neighbor's house, and I saw it on the news. There was helicopters everywhere, and I ran down there and shook his hand.
And he had some dessert.
And he came out of the house doing the...
he did, with the two peace signs. Yes.
Air quotes.
Of course, that's not why Dave wanted to name me Richard. Of course, the other reason behind it, the nickname that he could call me is
not the main reason. No, I don't think so. What do you think, Joseph?
Yeah, it was. That's what I've heard.
I plead the fifth.
Anyway, how was it? You guys sounded good last week. I heard you. From Las Vegas, you guys were great.
Yeah,
it was fun.
Yeah, I thought it was a good show.
In fact, I had to have my attorney renew my contract because you guys wanted me off the show.
We did for a while, and then we thought, you know what, it's easier with you here. Then we could sit back a little bit, let you do some talking about your Las Vegas shows, which I actually heard were very good, both shows you went to.
Donnie and Marie.
Well, yeah, I did see Donnie and Marie, but the two I'm going to review is Absinthe. And Million Dollar Quartet.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And no, absolutely, I didn't review it.
But oh, okay.
That's
I heard
a
that was a good
one.
One, though.
Okay, but the other reason you let me back in is because I own the show.
Very good.
What a downer.
Don't forget it.
Yeah.
Don't forget it, boys.
You think
okay.
you do.
Okay. Anyway, a mutiny.
That was
a good movie, too.
You think you do, but actually, Joseph and myself, we met with our attorney and... you're no longer the owner, Dave.
Oh, great.
In fact, they're here to pick you up, to escort you out.
They foreclosed on you.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. And with all the foreclosures. I've never heard of that, a foreclosure on a show.
That's what's happening right here with Dave Isaac. No, but good to have you back. And we heard some of your Vegas stories. Not very fun stories compared to probably the type of time that we would have in Vegas.
Sure, yeah. I was
but
bored.
For Dave, it was fun.
Yeah, yeah. Then
you had to
I didn't
go
even
there for
gamble
business.
Once. Not
so, you
once.
Know, it happens.
I can't believe it. Not one time. But that's okay. I was there for education, there for some networking, and to review shows. we could do that later, though, because
no, we can,
you
we
want to do it
if
now?
If you want to do it first, sure, go ahead.
What do you guys? You want to vote on that?
Let's do it. Well, you have one right now on BreakRadioShow.com, B-R-E-A-K RadioShow.com. That's your review of Absinthe, which is also a very good drink.
I didn't know about that. Tell us about the drink, since you're the expert, Greg.
It makes you see little green fairies flying around.
Well, lucky I don't drink. Okay.
A lot of fun.
Anyway, sorry about that, Greg. So... really? You see what flying around?
Yeah, yeah. Look it up. You know, we'll bring some in from Europe sometime so you can enjoy.
It used to be illegal here. I think it might be legal now.
Really? I never heard of this.
It was illegal. It might still actually be illegal. I know in Europe, it's you know big time over there. But I've known of people that actually have got it. I don't know how if they brought it back from Europe, but. I don't know if it's legal.
Well, what's
here
in
yet.
It? What's in this drink?
Well, it really.
I think it's wormwood.
Yeah, it's.
Wormwood?
Compared to the other alcohol.
It's wormwood.
Yeah, it really.
What is wormwood?
Messes you up even more.
What is wormwood?
Wormwood is actually a type of wood, and they take, like, the. They extract oils from it, and they put it into the drink, and it kind of makes you hallucinate.
Yeah.
Oh! Oh, really?
Watch the movie Eurotrip sometime. You've seen Eurotrip, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it may not make you do as crazy as
weird.
Other characters did.
I don't think it's like LSD or anything.
It's not like that.
Suddenly you'll be talking to the great Gazoo.
Yeah.
Well, there was a guy named the Gazillionaire.
I was wondering, is that why the show was called Absinthe? Is there, is it based off that?
I think it was based on abstinence.
Oh, okay.
Well,
no, not really. This show was delightfully raunchy.
That I doubt it was based off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing.
So it was probably based off Absinthe.
Well, yeah, they did start the show with this drink, actually, and they were mixing stuff, and maybe...
That's why you were flying around, and the people
no,
that you were
probably
with
not
were all
the reason,
over the place.
But that's a good excuse. So it was a great show. I got to tell you, it was funny, it was amazing, it was entertaining, and as I said, delightfully raunchy. This is for mature audiences, so don't go if you don't like that type of humor. Funny, unbelievable. The host was the gazillionaire and his assistant, Penny. And they were going back and forth. It was just hysterical, their chemistry together. And the acrobats were phenomenal. There was a lot of beauty, strength, and just grace in all the movements. There was this one a set of, I don't know if you call them acrobats or not, but they did pure strength. They did things in slow motion that you wouldn't believe anyone could do, almost like a gymnast, you know, certain poses and stuff. That in itself was very memorable, incredible stuff. The stage is circular, right in the center. All the seats were great. It was something I would absolutely recommend, unless you don't like, you know, mature type humor, adult humor.
Just and say, it, yeah, it well, it's a raunchy show.
Yeah, it's raunchy.
Like, I don't know if they still have it, but Zumanity, that used to be in New York, part of Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah,
I've never seen that, but I heard it's pretty out there. But I want to check it out one day.
Oh, I think it was really good. Very talented individual, great stunts, daredevils, a lot of great props they had. And they had a, it looked like an improvisation where they picked, they were making fun of Republicans, actually. And they said, oh, this section, a bunch of old guys were Republicans. And they got one of the Republicans, alleged Republican's wife, to come on stage to judge two contestants picked from the audience that were going to do a striptease for the Republican wife.
Wow.
Yeah, it was sort of funny. Eric, have you ever seen anything like that? Except in Washington.
I have not.
Oh, it was pretty funny. And anyway, that's what happened. There was a winner, and it was Obama. Okay, anyway, so that's absent.
So that was a thumbs up then.
Oh, a major thumbs
up. Yeah. Yeah, or a breakthrough then.
Yeah, a breakthrough if you like, you know, adult type humor.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will caution that
if it was like the movie, this is kind of like a Seth Rogen, Judd Apatow type.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
we love that.
Yeah.
But
sure.
You know, obviously not for everyone.
It's not for everyone. But that's why in my review at BreakRadioShow.com, I put funny, amazing, entertaining, and delightfully raunchy. Raunchy. How do you like that, Joseph? You're a reviewer.
That's great. That's
Way to soften the blow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, is, Eric, you're quite right.
You can check out Dave's written review again, BreakRadioShow.com. And also, if you're listening, of course, on your radio, if you get home, don't have the radio handy, you could also listen to us there on BreakRadioShow.com or download the AM 1480 KPHX app on your iPhone or Android.
And it's playing at Caesar's Palace in a nice
hotel.
Tent. It was a tent-like setup. Very comfortable place. Excellent. Definitely get out there and see it. It's been there for a couple years now. Very funny. That is my review on Absinthe.
Fun.
Did I say that right?
You did.
It's like saying absinthe with a lip.
There you go.
How do you say that? Lips?
Yeah, you did it.
That's good.
Okay.
I better not say that too much because I might be seeing pretty good. Pretty good?
Yeah, but scary too.
Oh, okay.
So we will have to have you escorted out again.
Okay. The other one I really enjoyed too. Much different. Of course, everyone's new. I saw Donny Marie. I'm not reviewing that one. That was great though. Great talent. I would recommend that. But I wasn't there for a review. But the Million Dollar Quartet. What do you guys think it's about? And Eric, what do you think?
Well, quartet usually means like some kind of musicians.
Yeah. And yeah, that's right. And what else you guys think?
Maggie Smith was in it?
I don't know who that is, but no. Will Smith.
Right.
No, not wait, Will. Okay,
Will
great.
Will Smith was in it and Maggie Smith. Wow.
Well, you wrote, I'm going to have a review on this, too.
Like Eric said, with musicians, and this isn't up on BreakRadioShow.com yet, your review, but classic musicians from back in the day.
The title is, here's my title of the review, A Musical Delight with Heart, Soul, and Rock and Roll.
Wow.
Hey, am I competition now for you, Joseph? Am I writing?
I don't think so.
No, was there Elvis involved?
Yes, there was Elvis Presley. So everyone knows.
Hendrix?
No, not Hendrix.
Really?
Oh, I used to play Hendrix. Oh, Carl Perkins? Yeah.
I'm looking at the website. It's Elvis, Jerry Perkins, and Johnny Cash.
That was really cool because it was, of course, everyone knows Elvis Presley, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Carl Perkins. But they didn't know the backstory, and the backstory was about Sam Phillips, founder of Sun Records, and the father, known as the father of rock and roll. And it was amazing that one day December 4th, 1956, when all four of these superstars, and Jerry Lee Lewis wasn't discovered yet, but the other Elvis was on his way, Johnny Cash was really getting more well-known, and Carl Perkins was well-known. All four showed up at one time Sun Records for a jam session, and that is well-documented, and it was about that one day. Phenomenal, playing all the great hits, not all of them, but many great hits from all these four superstars. A great, great story about the backstory of these four great entertainers and the guy, Sam Phillips, who made them well-known. Phenomenal. Do you like any of those guys?
I do. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, I would, occasionally. You know.
Occasionally? Well, it's not your...
Well, no one's Lady Gaga, right?
Well, there was no Lady Gaga there. But
where is it playing?
It's at Harrah's, and it was just phenomenal. Now, guess which one. If you can guess which one, you can, well, not quite own the show, but you can participate in the show. Which one really did I go for? Was it Elvis, Sam Perkins, Jerry Lee Lewis, or Johnny Cash?
Which one did you go for? Is
well,
something
not
you
go
didn't
for.
Tell us?
I mean, which, not that. I don't drink absinthe and see green fairies like you do. But,
oh, okay.
But no, I there is something that I like. One of them that particularly, one of the musicians.
Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah, that's what I was going to guess.
That is incorrect. Eric, which one do you think out of the four?
Elvis.
That is
Johnny
not correct.
Cash.
Yeah, I really like Johnny Cash ever since I saw the movie Walk the Line.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah. That was, yeah, phenomenal. He didn't win the Academy Award. He should have. Reese Witherspoon did win for Best Actress.
Do you know
June
who
Cullen.
I am? No.
No. Oh, yeah, you know all this stuff. But I thought that was a great movie. And Joseph Iardo.
No, you didn't get it. Never mind.
Oh, was that in the movie?
No, it was about Reese Witherspoon, but that's all right.
Oh.
Went over your head. That's
that was over my head. Anyway, that was a phenomenal movie. Walk the Line.
I you know what? I haven't seen it, but I sort of like Johnny Cash. I don't like country music, but Johnny Cash had more of kind of a rock feel to some of his stuff. So.
And stories. He told stories.
Absolutely. So I could listen to him.
Well, who did Blue Suede Shoes? Let's see who can guess. Eric?
Carl Perkins.
Yes, you are right. He actually wrote it. Elvis, everyone thought Elvis wrote it because he made it famous.
Right, but Carl recorded it too, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he did, and he was pretty good in his own right. So it was really interesting. Sometimes when you don't know the backstory, it makes it more fascinating how all four of these superstars became well known. Who discovered them? Sam Phillips, phenomenal, phenomenal in terms of being able to tell who's talented, who's not. I mean, that's a talent in itself, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, you look back, the producers now, but even from back in the day when you see the old movies based on, like, rock bands or just the individual musicians back in the day, and, you know, the producers were the big guys. I mean, those were the ones that really found the talent and got everyone rolling.
Now, if you didn't remember very well these entertainers, maybe you won't like it as much, but it did bring back great memories of the past, and I think that's what made part why the show was so good, because there are certain songs that can trigger you back to certain times in your life.
So if you're old, you'll like the show?
No.
If you're young, you may like it as well. I think
old,
I would
young,
like it.
It doesn't matter.
I think I would like
well,
it.
Well, I think you would too, because these songs have gone on and on. I mean, these
absolutely.
Are Great Balls of Fire, Jerry Lee Lewis. I mean, that's still being played. A whole lot of shaking going on, Jerry Lee Lewis. Yeah. And the people that played these legends, phenomenal. Their mannerisms, their voices, their expressions, everything reminded you of the great original talent.
So then another breakthrough.
Another major thumbs up. I give this, if this was equivalent, it'd be 5 stars.
Okay.
So you had a great Vegas trip in terms of shows.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. Just phenomenal. So I really enjoyed it, and we're looking to do more reviews in Las Vegas coming up.
Terrific.
All right, cool. So anyway, so you want to go to a break. Let's go to a break. I'm getting sign language, and I do know that stuff. And, of course, this is... Break. Hey, there we go. Look at that. I love that. And this is, of course, Breakthrough Entertainment, and we'll be right back here at 1480 AM in about a minute. Great balls of fire. Kiss the baby. Feels good. Hold me, baby. Love you like I love a shoe. You're fine, so kind. Got to
tell this world that you're mine, 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 mine. That you find nail dance and that twit on my thumb. I'm real nervous, but it sure is fun.
At Beer and Bomb and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beer and Bomb and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment, brought to you by Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network here at 1480 AM KPHX. Hi, everyone. This is Dave Isaac. Again, you thought I left, didn't you? And of course, Greg Isaac, Joseph Erdo. Now we got some movie reviews.
And discussions, of course.
And discussions are one of our favorite moments other than random enlightenments.
Yeah, those are always fun. Yeah, we've got three movies to talk about today. The first of which is Before Midnight. We'll do that one first.
And well, of course, we got to do it well before midnight because we're only on till 12 of the entertainment section.
We got to do it before noon then.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Dave, and are you sure you didn't take anything while you were in Vegas?
Well,
actually, this is how Dave's always been.
Yeah. It's kind of
this is random enlightenments. Yeah. People love this part,
right? It comes throughout the whole show.
Yeah.
It's not an actual set segment.
No.
Dave's random enlightenments is basically the whole show.
Well, you could call it flashbacks. Is that what you're saying?
Wow.
Or a flash dance.
So
remember that one?
Back to the movies.
I want to hear about this one, even though I haven't seen any of the first two.
All right. Well, first, Before Midnight, you know, if anyone, well, first of all, let's invite people to call in. If they've seen Before Midnight or if they've seen the two predecessors, Before Sunrise or Before Sunset, what number can they call?
Well, they could call 602-252-1480, 602-252-1480. Join us in discussion of Before Midnight or the other two.
Yeah, the other two, which later on we'll talk about, After Earth and Now You See Me. So before Midnight, you know, this is kind of an art house film. Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy reprise their roles as Jesse and Celine, who 9 years after we last saw them embody the realities of a long-term relationship, the weight of children, work, ambitions, and disappointments. So I know that, Greg, you said that you saw the first one, Before Sunrise, right?
Dave did.
Oh, Dave did. I'm sorry.
Yes.
You're getting us mixed up now.
Yeah. Wow. You looked so alike.
I know. He looks so
Eric,
much older.
Eric, please show him the door.
So Before Sunrise, you saw it, and what'd you think of that one?
Well, I saw part of it. I thought it was interesting. That all I remember was, I think, is Ethan Hawke and, what was the lady's name?
Julie Delpy. She plays Celine.
And they were just having this major discussion throughout the movie, and you know. I don't remember much more than that, but it looked interesting.
Well, there are two people who meet on a train by chance, and they, you know, kind of get into this discussion, start to fall in love with one another. By the end of the movie, they aren't together. So then 9 years later, before Sunset, which, by the way, was one of my favorite films of the year that came out. I loved Before Sunrise, but that was before I was reviewing films. I think I was
Would that be Tequila Sunrise?
Okay. He did take something. Yeah. And Before Sunset was a beautiful film when they got back together and, you know, after 9 years, reconnected and really fell in love with one another again. And by the end of the film that time, and they basically take, not in real time, but they take place, you know, in an afternoon or a morning or a night, you know, whatever it may be, before sunrise, before sunset, before midnight. And they really fell in love with each other. And, you know, it was like true love. Now here, again, it's 9 years later, so 18 years after the first one, and they are married. They've got two kids of their own. Ethan Hawke's character has a kid from another marriage, a woman that he divorced. And so they've got all this extra baggage.
I mean, that was before sunrise and sunset?
No, that was...
That he got married and got divorced.
Well, he got divorced after Before Sunset.
Yeah, but not Before Sunrise.
I'm getting so confused.
Okay.
So yeah, they
someone bring us the absinthe.
yeah, we need it bad. No, so they're basically falling apart. I mean, at one point, Celine, Julie Delpy's character, near the beginning, says, you know, she starts to see the cracks in their marriage, and she goes, "Mark this moment. This is when our marriage starts to fall apart."
Oh no! And how long was it? In 9 years?
Nine years. And so now, by midnight, their marriage unravels in the course of this afternoon and evening. They start, you know, these two people who in Before Sunset and Before Sunrise were so in love and saying such wonderful things to one another. They are yelling at each other and saying these hateful things that we, you know, it's very uncomfortable to see these people who I mean, they embody true love to us as moviegoers and as fans of this franchise. And now they are saying these horrible things to each other that, you know, I would never want to say to anyone. Yet, I mean, they're doing it. And it's, but at the same time, you know, this is, it's deep. It's meaningful, and it's realistically romantic. I mean, romance isn't a fairy tale. You know, it can be at first, but this shows you what romance eventually turns into. It's real life. It's difficult to sustain a marriage. It's just difficult to sustain a relationship of any kind. And, you know, both actors give terrific performances. This is, you know, it's kind of melancholy. You know, again, it's very uncomfortable to watch them very angry at each other say these things. But, you know, the ending is so insightful, so enlightening. This is a breakthrough, Dave.
Wow, number a five, huh?
Yes, this is a five. So,
oh,
you know,
this is my type of movie, isn't it?
I think that you'll love this. You love romance.
I do, and I love these type of relationship type of movies. And you mentioned that romance, you know, can, I don't know exactly how you said it, but well, deteriorate somehow. But what if you're true best friends and if you're soulmates?
Well, that's what we think that these two people are. That's what's so devastating about watching this film. You know, even though I loved watching it, it was so uncomfortable because, you know, the passage of time can have a devastating effects on even the truest of true love. So, that's the theme.
So you think time had something to do to deteriorate a solid friendship, best friend?
I think that time does that in general. I mean, I think that time and experiences, you know, no matter what you go through, it, you know, think of it like a car or a piece of metal. Over time, it rusts, and you've really got to maintain that. And, you know, these people, we think that they're maintaining it, yet it's very clear that there's rust in their relationship.
Well, that's the key word, is how to maintain it, and mm-hmm. not just time, but quality time. So let's look at that. I mean, what is time? And I think time is a man-made mental construct anyway, deep in the unconscious mind.
Okay.
Wow, that sounds like a philosophical professor talking. But you think about it, what you focus on is how you spend your time. Everyone knows that if you can spend all your time in the present moment and not regret the past and not worry about the future, but the gift is in the present. You get it?
Mm-hmm.
Present moment.
Yeah, very good.
And if you do that, I believe relationships stay intact. It's when your mind wanders away, regretting something, thinking of or playing what they call a calibrated loop in neurolinguistic programming about the same thing over and over, maybe an argument you have. But getting past that, letting go, forgiving, all these great qualities that would maintain a relationship, that, I think, is how you spend time. And I don't then believe that a passage of time can really have devastating effects if you use the time wisely and you're in the present moment honoring your best friend, soulmate.
But don't you believe that certain experiences can really cause you to change and, I mean, kind of like hurt the relationship? Do you not agree with that?
I think there's a lot of experiences, but it's the one thing you can control is the events of your life don't determine your state of mind. It's your interpretation. So if you have the skill sets and the awareness that you can interpret an event to the most empowering situation, the most empowering mindset, then it's your choice. You mm-hmm. can choose to interpret something that's going to be the best for everyone. I think events of one's life can, if you focus on the negative, if you focus on certain things that will deteriorate a relationship, it will. But I don't think it has to do with time. I think it has to do with how you interpret something. Interpretation is everything, and people do it constantly. But what they don't know is they can reinterpret that. They can reframe it. They can look at other points of view, and I think that would be very important.
All right.
What do you think?
Let me ask you.
I haven't seen this movie, and I don't know if you're allowed to say or not, but were there certain events in this movie that caused a change in one or both of them?
The events don't take place during the movie. The events take place in the 9 years in between last one and this one.
And they're talking about it, reminiscing.
Yeah, I got you. Because as you said, the first one and each of the three films kind of take the same approach where it's just the two of them talking with one another. And, you know, there's also some other people, some other relatives and friends and stuff like that along the way. But most of it is them walking and talking. And that sounds terribly, terribly boring, but it isn't, because the discussion that they are having is so insightful, so deep, and a very intimate conversation that they're having about these things that really exist in life. And you kind of like relate back to your own life and think, well, how would I, you know, react if someone said that to me, or how would I react if I had to put up with that situation? And, you know, or if you had to give up a career. I mean, Celine, Julie Delpy's character, she has to be a stay-at-home mom now, when she wanted to be a singer-songwriter.
I mean, so that caused resentment?
Yes, yes.
So that would be something to discuss. Now, none of you questioned me on when you thought I was stuttering when I said soulmate. Why did I say it twice, or did I?
I don't know. I wasn't
okay.
really listening.
Soul, S-O-U-L. Oh, Eric, go ahead.
No, I can't. I'd have to wait till after the show's over.
Okay, good. Well, no, I can't wait to hear about that. But soulmate, S-O-U-L and S-O-L-E. Mm-hmm. Think about it. S-O-U-L.
There's one person
just
for
having one versus...
Yeah, yeah, because some people believe in there's many soulmates, S-O-U-L. But yeah, exactly. Go to Greg's party. But S-O-U-L and S-O-L-E, that can make a difference. So I think this is going to be a great movie. Did it come out yet?
Yes, it came out yesterday, so you can definitely see it.
Definitely want to see that.
I would recommend going to renting before sunrise and before sunset.
Oh.
You don't have to have seen them, you know, to enjoy the conversation that they're having, but it will mean a lot more if you've already had those two experiences. So I would, you know, I cannot stress enough, go out and rent those two movies today and then see before midnight tomorrow.
Is it a learning experience for people that are married, about to get married, or not getting, you know, about to split up? Is there some nuggets you can take, like, oh yeah, we want to avoid this situation?
I don't think that it will scare you. I think it will frighten you because you believe in this love between these two people. But at the end, I will say this, it is hopeful. Even though their marriage is falling apart, it leaves on a hopeful note, and it will might not tell you what not to do, but it'll tell you how to fix it.
And is the sequel Before Death Do Us Part?
It's called After Midnight. It comes out next year.
It might be before noon, actually.
I'll say this. It's the type of movie I probably wouldn't sit through. To me, it looks boring, but I could see why it's a good movie, though. But I find it interesting, and you might have mentioned it also briefly, is that Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy also were two of the writers of the film as well.
Okay.
You know, it's always interesting to see that and, you know, their take on it, as well as the director, Richard Linklater, was also the other writer. Right.
And I believe there's probably a lot of improvisation on the set, you know, because that's how they're able to come up with these meaningful conversations and just kind of like come up with it and, you know, talk from a very real place. And that's why it comes across so authentic.
Absolutely.
Sounds like a great movie. I'm definitely going to see this.
Right.
5 stars. Wow.
Yes.
Way to go, Joseph.
Now, that's Before Midnight. What happens after Earth?
Yeah, right. Exact. Great segue there. Ooh. After Earth, Will and Jaden Smith play a father and son who crash land on Earth 1,000 years after events forced humanity's escape. With his father injured, the son must embark on a perilous journey to signal for help. Basically, what happens here is, you know, this is 1,000 years after Earth has been evacuated. And there are creatures on Earth, you know, plant life and animal life and all sorts of other things, you know, some weird alien things. They want to basically kill any humans. There's no humans left on Earth. So Will and Jaden are up in, you know, on the spaceship, and Will's going to do this mission across space, and he brings Jaden along. There's something that goes wrong. They crash land on Earth. Will Smith is injured, and it's up to Jaden Smith to conquer his fear, go out and get this little signal thing on the opposite end of Earth, or I think it's 100 kilometers. I don't know why they're using kilometers instead of miles in this movie. It's American. So he's got to go and get it on the tail of the ship and signal for help. But there's a lot of, again, all these monsters who can, you know, basically tear him apart. And they definitely try to do, you know, baboons, they chase him. You know, there's these this giant bird and all sorts of different creatures. And then, again, there's an alien creature on the planet as well, a very big, scary-looking thing. And, Greg, who directed this?
M. Night, I can never say his last name.
Shyamalan.
Yeah.
The Sixth Sense.
Exactly, I wouldn't watch that.
The Sixth Sense.
The Sixth Sense.
I like that movie.
That was the only movie he had that was good.
Yeah, that was
good. Yeah. That was crap.
Yeah,
other than that,
I loved Signs.
Signs was good. I like Signs, but...
Is that with Mel Gibson?
Yes.
Yeah, no, after that, you know, the Airbender one I didn't see, but I heard
Last
that was
Airbender,
horrible.
Basically, that the plot of that is someone kills a fish.
Oh, okay.
I spoil it for you. I'm sorry. Now I can say
that poor fish.
Yes, that's the entire point of
what
the entire movie.
What are they thinking?
It's a terrible, terrible movie. And, you know, he also produced a movie called Elevator. It was in the Elevator.
Oh, yeah. Devil. Okay, Devil? I saw that.
Oh, which one?
Devil, right?
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
That one, the concept could have been good, but the movie in general was just...
It wasn't bad.
Right.
It wasn't.
Because he didn't direct it.
Right. He just did part of it. But definitely, yeah, the Sixth Sense and then Signs. But I think that what happened was because the Sixth Sense was so good, such a big hit, Is that we all expected, oh, okay, he's going to do great. Yeah.
Well, the studios then, kept greenlighting everything.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
thought he and had the magic touch.
That's absolutely. Right. And then, the, you know, the one about when they were on a train.
yeah, what was that? I remember.
Unbreakable?
Yeah, was that the one you were saying?
Unwatchable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Unwatchable.
So he's had a, I mean, I didn't very much care for The Sixth Sense. I think I liked Signs and Devil
yeah, Signs
the most.
I liked. You
know.
Oh, okay.
You know, but yeah, The Last Airbender was terrible. This is, I'm not going to, it's a thumbs down. It is definitely a thumbs down. You know, it's entertaining at times, but, you know, and I don't want to blame M. Night Shyamalan completely for this. It's Will Smith and his son. It's definitely Jaden Smith. This kid, you know, just because he's Will Smith's son, you know, they're like propelling him towards superstardom. Yeah. And, you know, same thing with his daughter, unfortunately. She's
oh, yeah,
not in the
Willow.
Movie. And whatever,
yeah.
She's just flip my hair or whatever. I don't care. But, you know, he was previously in The Karate Kid, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought he was good there.
He was all right there, yeah. In this, though, you know, he cannot act at all. They give both him and Will Smith, they have these weird accents where they you know, instead of saying sir, they say sir. You know, they almost
what does
sound,
that mean?
They sound unintelligent. They sound you know, incoherent.
Oh,
you know, it's almost offensive. It's almost like a stereotype. I don't know why they chose to do that.
Wow.
I don't know why they chose to do that, but it was, you know, absolutely, you know, it was offensive.
Interesting. You know, it's someone else's daughter in this. Well, obviously, Jaden Smith is the son, but even though the dad wasn't in it, Zoe Kravitz, daughter of Lenny Kravitz.
Right.
Oh,
yes.
Really?
She has
duos,
a, she has
even
a brief
though
role.
He wasn't there. But
right.
I'd say this. I do like Jaden Smith. I did think in Karate Kid he did well, and I think he has the ability. Maybe it's just this movie. Maybe the way they wrote the characters, perhaps. You know, but I haven't seen it yet, and I probably, this one with so many movies out, will wait till Redbox. But and Sebastian Noren in the house, we'll see in about 20 minutes on Real Hockey Talk. So
yeah.
it seems
Will Smith is usually a good actor.
Normally,
But here he's barely in it at all. This is basically his kid's movie.
Oh,
You know, and I think it is part of the writing's fault. You know, it's the dialogue is terrible. You know, it feels more fit for satire than sincere science fiction. If you're a science fiction fan, go and see Star Trek. You know, this is not. This is like a kid's version of science fiction.
Well, we can make it easy saying that a kid's version of science fiction, that only means one thing. It's an M. Night Shyamalan.
Yes,
or,
it is.
Or Shyamalan.
Yeah, whatever that might be.
Say that again.
Shyamalana.
No, that Shyamalana. Eric, I think you remember Shyamalana, the music.
Yeah, I was actually kicked out of a Shyamalana concert for being too rowdy.
Really? Oh, we want to hear about this. Or can you say it on there?
Yeah, sure. A friend of mine and I went to, we got one tickets on the radio on K-Earth 101 out in L.A.
Yeah.
And we went to the show. It was at the Universal Amphitheater.
Yeah,
when it was still outdoors.
Oh yeah,
and we were making too much of a ruckus. They kicked us out.
Wow.
Bowser was yelling at us.
Really? They were a big time group.
Yeah,
I've heard of them, but no, I think that's the easy way to put it. Is I think because he really struggles with his films, and no one really seems to like it. M. Night Shyamalan is the name that we'll just say, and I think that tells the story.
Yeah, and you know, and he should be ashamed of producing something so sheep-headed and senseless.
Ah.
So thumbs down, but the theme is really good here. It's also the tagline, danger is real, fear is a choice. Would you agree? Is fear
absolutely
a choice?
Fear is a choice. Fear, what does it stand for? Let's see who can guess. I'll give you some answers here. False evidence appearing real. Mm-hmm. Everyone's heard that, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So what does that really mean? I mean, if you fear is a choice when you have great confidence, but not overconfident, but great confidence.
Right.
That you're thinking something's possible, you're flexible, you have options, you do some planning, and you're in contemplation, and you're really completely aware of what's going on. Because if people that are in fear usually don't know something, they usually think something bad, and their emotions overtake their logic often. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a problem where people are run by fear. And if you're run by fear, it sort of paralyzes you. You make decisions that are counterproductive. You may not even make any decisions. But if you had knowledge and if you had some confidence, perhaps you will see the truth, and the truth will always set you free.
Yes, it will.
Sometimes. But I'll say this, is that...
Well, it depends. Spiritually, it always will.
Very good.
Okay.
I'll say this, though, is that, tying into the movie, of course, from what you're saying, how he has to go save his dad, basically, mm-hmm. or get help. If he has any fear, it's not going to happen. He's going to get caught by these after-Earth people who are going to do damage to him. But if he just realizes, I can do this, and doesn't think about anything like that happening, that doesn't necessarily mean he'll be okay. He still has to actually do stuff, but it will definitely increase his chances of being successful.
Well, what about this? The two conflicting fears, the fear of losing your dad, yeah. and the fear of going through fear of the unknown, which the greater fear will win. So if he had a greater fear of losing his dad, everything else, then he's going to just go through because he doesn't want to have to face that pain.
Yeah, well, and they show you in the film that, you know, he eventually is able to overcome that fear and become, you know, that confident individual.
Yeah.
And, you know, because these alien creatures, they feed on fear. That's the only way that they can see.
Right.
Interesting. You know, they can see
it's
you.
It's like animals,
if you have,
how they kind of sense.
Exactly,
if you're
yeah.
scared at all.
Oh.
And I see
yeah.
it, you know, as if I'm about to take a test, I'm terribly afraid of tests.
You are.
That's my like biggest fear for some reason. But you know, if you're able to be confident, go into a test without that fear, that's the only way that you can do your best possible, work on
and
that test.
And preparation.
Planning. Yeah, well, yeah, of course, yeah. Preparation. But also, you cannot be afraid. You know, just gotta like, you know, I view life as an experience. You know, if I obviously I don't want to jump off a bridge or something like that. But you know, if I'm afraid of a roller coaster, just go on. Worst case scenario, you die, but at least you had fun with it.
Wow, I don't take that position at all.
Life is an experience. Go out and enjoy it.
I can experience a roller coaster by watching Greg go on it. Erica, do you like roller coasters?
Yeah, I love them.
Oh, you do?
Yeah,
but
you
I
can,
love
you
them
know,
too.
Just watch it on like YouTube or something.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, Greg loves them, right?
Yeah, I like them.
No, really? You like that
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, I like roller coasters.
The upside down ones at Disney?
Yeah. Of course.
In fact, when those go upside down, you don't even notice. It just goes so quick.
Well, I notice. I usually faint every time I see
yeah.
it.
Well, yeah, but that's because you're watching. If you're on it, though, it goes by so quickly.
And you don't think you don't? Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I'm not thinking, I'm going to fall off the ride or anything like that. I won't go that far, but they're safe most of the time.
Yeah, my point is that, you know, life is too short to be afraid of anything. So you just kind of like got to go out there and view it as an experience. No matter what it is, go out and enjoy it, because
like having OCD and checking one's car seven different times to make sure the door's locked.
Wow.
We're going to have to hear about this over the break.
Yeah, we're going to kick him out. Okay, so anyway, this is Breakthrough Entertainment and brought to you by Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. And we'll be back after these breaks. And of course, we're on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. Be right back.
That's swaying to and fro. I have never heard that song.
At Beerenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement offering compromise or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment, brought to you by the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. And now we are going to review Now You See Me.
Or
yes,
do you?
Yeah. Yeah, well, we'll definitely talk about Now You See Me here in a moment. But first, I also want to mention that on our Facebook page, if you just go to breakradioshow.com, click on the F in the upper right-hand corner. It'll take you to the Facebook page, and you can win tickets to see Man of Steel.
Oh, wow.
An advanced screening.
Yes,
so how do you do that again? Get to what Facebook page?
Breakradioshow.com, click on the F. What?
Yeah, you usually say the big F.
Yeah, I do, but this is for our Facebook page.
Yeah, I know.
We never know, though. I don't think you did. That's why.
No, I did. I've seen that Facebook page. I own it.
Remember, less is more. The more you make us keep having to
You know,
repeat
I had
that,
a, I knew our, it, my first
like, what are they talking
the first
about?
Guy I when I moved to Phoenix. The very first person I met in a business networking.
Interesting.
And his name was Les.
Okay.
And he was a great networker, and he's really nice to me. So he introduced me a lot of people.
Less was more. There you go.
And that was his tagline.
Very
less
good.
Is more.
Yeah, good job for less there. Yeah.
Well, you can't get any less than free, and that's how much you'll pay for the advanced screening for.
So once
Man
again, how do they do it? Man of Steel.
No, if they didn't hear it the first time.
Oh man, I didn't hear it the first time. I'll do the replay.
Go to our Facebook page. Okay. You'll find out how to win advanced screening tickets to see
Excellent.
That film. So very exciting. So now You See Me. This might be the big movie of this weekend. In this, Mark Ruffalo plays an FBI agent who tracks a team of illusionists played by Jesse Eisenberg, Woody Harrelson, Dave Franco, who was a guest on our show a couple months ago, and Isla Fisher, that pulls off bank heists during their performances and reward their audiences with the money. So I know that you two saw this, and before I share my review, I'm curious to see what you guys had to say about it.
First things first, I like these types of films. Obviously, comedies are my favorite. This wasn't a comedy. It had some funny moments,
right,
of course, but kind of a suspense,
Thriller,
thriller, and a lot of things going on. Obviously, the magic stuff was pretty cool. I like all, the main actors in this film. Of course, Jesse Eisenberg, Mark Ruffalo, as you mentioned, Woody Harrelson, and of course, Michael Caine, Morgan Freeman. I think Isla Fisher is amazing. Yeah, so a lot of great people, but I'll say this. I greatly enjoyed it. I like, you know, obviously I can't say what the surprises are, but they're surprises in general because it's kind of a mystery suspense right. involved. And I like that when that happens. And, mm-hmm. you know, some you expected, but it's still interesting the way everything played out. So it does keep you on the edge of your seat. It's very entertaining, and it definitely a thumbs up.
Yeah.
Wow, you give it a thumbs up.
Absolutely.
Wow.
All right, you want my take?
Yeah, of course.
All right, well, I was a little bit tired, so about 20 minutes, about one-third of the film, I may have missed.
Yeah, you took a little nap.
Well, yeah.
Now, did you see the interview with Morgan Freeman where I mentioned earlier he fell asleep during a television interview? They were interviewing him and Michael Caine, and he just kind of like closed his eyes and then like woke up. Oh, where am I?
No, didn't do that. But I did what I did see, and I saw most of it. I thought it was very intriguing. I love the hypnotist. That's part of neurolinguistic programming. I thought that was really interesting, and I thought they did a great job demonstrating how their magical abilities, actually their talents. I thought that was good. I know it was special effects, probably often in the movies, but the theme was good. I would give it a thumbs up. I liked the ultimate theme, which I won't mention because you're gonna have to go and see that, and there's a lot of twists and turns, but that is the art of distraction.
Yeah.
So I thought they played the theme very, very well.
So two thumbs up so far?
Yeah, I give it one thumbs up. Greg gives it two. I mean, Greg gives it one for
we
two.
Just say thumbs up because two thumbs up isn't our trademark.
Yeah, but it will be. I'm pushing it.
But you're distracted right now, Dave. Whenever you see Dave reach for his phone, he can't multitask. So that means he's
distracted. I'm a great multitasker.
And we've got to take away the show from him.
Yes.
Joseph,
yes.
Let's see what you say about it.
Well, now you see me as fresh, fun, and fascinating, but it's also too far-fetched. You know, we were talking before, during the break, that, you know, you thought that I might have thought that this was a little bit too far out there. I did kind of think it was a little too far out there.
Then I win.
No, you don't win.
We'll see. I think I'm going to win.
I'm giving it a thumbs up.
Yeah,
but barely.
Yeah.
I'm giving it a thumbs up because, you know...
barely.
it's not barely, but it could have went, you know, either way.
Something's
that's
a little
what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to make it so that Dave doesn't win, but, you know... Anyway, it's like, you know, one giant magic trick, as you said. You know, it's it's a lot about the sleight of hand techniques. You know, I was mesmerized by it. It was fun. I mean, you have a good time watching this, putting the puzzle pieces together, and but at the same time, I wish that there was a little more old fashioned Hollywood hocus pocus rather than all the CGI computer generated effects.
Yeah.
I think that would have made, you know, magic is fun when you don't know how it's happening. We know how a lot of this is happening. You know, someone's sitting there with a computer. And, but the puzzle pieces fit together. Eventually, the end, Dave, again, we don't want to mention what it is exactly, but you kind of mentioned that maybe I thought that it wasn't tied up as well enough.
Right.
I thought that was just kind of like pointless at the end. It was neat how it all came together.
But not as...
But there was no, like, there was no reason to any of it.
Yeah, but I thought it was a little weak, but compared to... Our friend in the Phoenix Film Festival, what was that? Remember we had the two gentlemen?
Blaine Weaver and...
Yeah, what was the name of that film?
Favor.
Yeah. That was tied up beautifully, right?
Yeah.
See, here's the thing. I see what you guys are saying, but I think it was tied up. I can't really get to it now.
Right,
that's why on the break I tried to mention it a bit. Maybe a little more could be tied, but I think I saw where they were getting at. And then there was part that was tied, and I thought it made it interesting. Obviously far-fetched, but that's what makes movie fun, you know. And
it was fun.
You know, it's a fun movie. And
right.
Great acting.
So, you know. But, you know, once you see it, if you haven't seen it yet, some of our listeners, you'll kind of maybe get what both sides of this are saying
right.
in terms of the end.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
But, yeah, I definitely enjoyed it. I just, at the final revelation, which, you know, was neat, but, at the same time, I was like, well, what's the point of having gone through all this, stuff? You know, bank heists, all this money, and all these different tricks, and
there were some subplots that we can't really talk about yet.
Right. So it's difficult. So but definitely go out and see it. You will have a good time. In the theme here, the closer you look, the less you see.
Yeah.
Dave, what do you have to say about that?
Well, the art of distraction. I think this happens constantly with people in society. Paying attention is much more than focus. I think its ability to participate, what I call the third level of thinking. Did I go through that on Thursday?
You might have.
I know what I know is the first level. And really pay attention to this. This is very important. I know what I know. I know what I don't know. Think about that. And I know that I don't know what I don't know. What does that mean? I know that I don't know what I don't know.
All I know is you have greatly confused me.
I'm Morgan Freeman, and I just felt
what you This is what it means, is what's out there that's beyond, what is out there that's beyond your awareness? In other words, you got to play in that third level of thinking, knowing just because you don't see it, just because you don't believe it, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I think that's really important to play in that third level of thinking in life, in business, whatever you're doing, knowing that, hey, there is possibilities. I just don't see it. Who do I hang around with? What do I read? How can I increase my awareness? That's the key.
Exactly. You have to expand your you can't close your mind to certain things.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, for all we know, magic does exist. For all we know, aliens are out there, and there is some universe that's, you know, after Earth where all these monsters are. You know, whatever. Or we are in a world where true love exists. I'm trying to, like, bring it all together with all three movies.
Right. There you go.
But you cannot close your mind to things, because then what's the point of life?
Absolutely.
You're going to miss a lot of experiences.
And you'll participate in what Tony Robbins has always said, that if you do the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, that's a definition of insanity. Get out of your own way. Stop being, you know, in the state of mind of insanity, and expand your awareness. By doing that, you'll expand your own self to help more people. That's my final analysis.
And if you're ever confused or scared or whatever it might
call be,
you can call Dave Isaac, or you can just take a step back and take a look at the bigger picture, and I think it'll become a lot clearer. That's what this movie's saying.
I like it. So you have two thumbs up today and one thumbs down before midnight. A major breakthrough. 5 stars.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Another one was After Earth. Well,
thumbs
wait
down.
Till After Earth to see that one.
Yeah.
And Now You See Me. That was a fun movie. I totally agree. Entertaining. Great acting. Jesse Eisenberg.
Absolutely.
He's a cool dude. He's really cool.
Yeah,
he's very good.
And Franco, as you said, fantastic.
And next week, hopefully, will be good, too. We have The Internship.
Oh, yeah.
We have The Purge, and we have The Kings of Summer, along with some exclusive interview clips from the director of that, Jordan Vogt Roberts.
Wow, very nice. And, of course, you can hear us on blogtalkradio.com/BTBN. Every day, daily, 2 to 4. And
next Thursday, we'll have on Lawrence Bloom.
Of Arabia.
No, Lawrence Bloom, son of Judy Bloom, a young adult author.
Wow, that should be really good.
Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, so we got a lot of action. Anyway, Joseph, thank you. Greg, thank you. First, stay tuned for Real Hockey Talk here live, 1480 AM, KPHX. We'll be right back with Sebastian Norton talking about NHL playoffs conference final starting today. Gotta get rich, gotta live on time. Live on time, live on time. But you can't take it with you when you live on time. Live on time, live on time. Gotta give yourself a life, but you live on time. But you live on time, live on time, live on time. You're dead!
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.